Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The Old Testament lesson for today is from Psalm 71, verses 17 through 19. This can be found on page 573 of your pew Bible. The psalmist celebrates the glory of God and petitions him for the grace to proclaim his power to another generation. A reading from Psalm 71, beginning with the 17th verse. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and still I proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? May God add his blessings to the reading of his holy word.
Thanks be to God.
It's like riding a wave. That's the answer that I gave to a question that came just last Sunday. There were some new people here, and they were telling me that this church seems like an awesome place. And they said, what's it like being the pastor here? And I said, it's like riding a wave. And I was thinking back to when I was a kid growing up on the shores of Lake Michigan. On the shores of Lake Michigan, the waves there aren't quite big or consistent enough for people to get out their surfboards, but you can body surf pretty well. And I remember body surfing a lot when I was a kid and having that feeling of that power, that thrust that's underneath you, that's greater than you are, that if you commit to it, you can ride on that wave and ride it into the shore. That's what it feels like to be the pastor of this church. There's a power here. There's a Holy Spirit wave that is on the move in this place. You can get in the way of it, or you can get out of the way of it, or you can ride it. And that's what I've been doing these last 13 years since I first came here to Stanwich Church. It's what so many of you are doing as well, recognizing this greater power, this Holy Spirit energy, this wave. And what I learned about body surfing growing up is that when the wave starts coming, in order to just not get kind of knocked over by it, you really have to commit. What you have to do is kind of jump off your feet and get your mass on top of the wave so that you can ride it. It takes commitment to ride that wave. Today is Commitment Sunday. And as we seek to ride that greater power, that Holy Spirit energy, that wave, I thought I would pause and take a moment and ask, what exactly is it that we're committing to on Commitment Sunday? Well, it's the same thing that we as a church have been committed to for 293 years. We are committed to our vision. We're committed to our vision. If you've been here longer than 5 minutes, you know what our vision is. If this is your first Sunday here, you're about to learn this. The vision of Stanwich Church that we're committed to is to know Christ and make him known. This is the vision that we're committed to here, to know Christ and to make him known. What does it mean to know Christ? Well, that's primarily what we do here on Sundays. We seek to know Jesus. And in our life groups and our programs, but primarily here on Sunday, we're seeking to know him through our worship, through our singing. I had another visitor recently say to me, wow, you guys sing about Jesus a lot here. Yeah, we're trying to know him. We can hardly go three measures in any of our songs without his name coming up. We want to know him. We know him in singing. We know him in the preaching and the reading and the hearing of the word. We preach the gospels. We talk about the central figure, the central character in this whole story. It's Jesus. We know him through worship and through preaching and also every week as we come to his table. We know his grace. We meet him here in this intimate and relational way, coming to table to taste his grace. We bring our sin. He brings his grace. We know him in that place, to know Christ. But the second half of that vision, we're also committed to making him known. We want the whole world to know the good news about Jesus Christ. There are some Christians, there are some denominations or flavors of Christianity that don't really commit to that second half of making him known. They prefer to keep faith a private thing, just between me and God. and they think it's maybe even offensive or inappropriate to share the faith with others. But here at Stanwish Church, we commit not only to knowing him ourselves, but to making him known, to proclaiming, to expanding the kingdom of God, that we have experienced and encountered the grace of Jesus Christ in this place, and we have found it to be so good and so valuable and so precious in our lives that we can't help ourselves but to tell others about it. Like the old expression says, evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find some bread. We make him known to the world around us. We commit to our vision. Well, not just our vision, our covenant. The covenant that was formed by the farmers in 1731, 1 year before George Washington was born. When we become members of this church, we stand up and we make agreement with the covenant that they wrote. I want to just point out a couple of the phrases from that covenant. This was written in 1731. We unite ourselves, they said, for Christian fellowship, the enjoyment of Christian ordinances, the public worship of God, and the advancement of his kingdom in this world. That advancement of his kingdom is like that second half of our vision that I was talking about a moment ago, making him known, advancing his kingdom, inviting other people into the family of God. But there's one other phrase here I just want to pause on for a moment. The enjoyment of Christian ordinances. That word ordinances is not one we normally use these days unless it's like the ordinance your housing authority gives you or something. But in this context, just think of it as practices. The enjoyment, it says. This is what the farmers committed themselves to. The enjoyment of Christian practices. I love that. Nancy and I were talking recently about how much we love this church. And Nancy said, you know, it's the first church that she's ever belonged to that she actually enjoys. Isn't that true of Stanwich Church? It's just a joy to be here. Other places, other churches I've belonged to, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I've been in other churches where there's not much joy going on there. It feels more like a burden or a task. But we're still committed to this covenant that was written so long ago, the enjoyment. There's a banner at a church in New York City that I love, and the banner outside the front door says, enjoy your forgiveness. That's good. The enjoyment of Christian ordinances, the public worship of God, and the advancement of his kingdom in this world. How are we advancing his kingdom? Well, that brings us to our mission statement. We have a vision statement, a covenant, and a mission statement. This one's a little harder to memorize than the vision statement, but I'm going to show it to you on the wall. There's amazing phrases in here that we worked hard on several years ago. This is almost like the tactics or the strategy of how we're going to do all these things in our vision. Our mission statement says this: we are called to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's borrowed right from the covenant. We're called to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ in Fairfield and Westchester counties as a Christ-centered community rooted in biblical truth, using gospel proclamation, intergenerational discipleship, spirit-filled worship, leadership empowerment, and missional engagement for the glory of God. I could probably spend an hour on each one of those phrases, but there's just one here that I want to pause on today. Intergenerational discipleship. Intergenerational discipleship. Thank you, students, for staying in the service today. We've got some of our kids and students here. When David was giving the announcements earlier and all the toddlers were still in here, we could hear all of their noises. And I've had so many people across the years pull me aside, you know, and say, well, you must be really upset about all the kids' noises in the sanctuary. And I say, are you kidding me? I love it. This is like God's family room. I would so much rather have all those baby and toddler noises in this room than the alternative, not having any kids around. So keep bringing your babies. How many babies and kids have we had in the children's wing these past few weeks? Dozens. Yeah. 30? That's amazing. Intergenerational discipleship. What the thing is, it's really cool. We learn as much from the kids as they do from us. That's intergenerational discipleship. How do we advance the kingdom? How do we do this bold, audacious thing of making Christ known in our world? Well, it's the same simple ingredient that Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. Intergenerational discipleship. passing the faith on to the next generation. That's the simplest and most powerful way to expand the kingdom of God. And that's what the psalmist was writing about in Psalm 71. I want us to look at this together today because it really speaks to what we are committing to, our vision, our mission, our covenant, and our expansion into Stamford. Let's look to the psalmist to find out just some beautiful biblical meaning on what we're doing today. Psalm 71, verse 17. O God, it says, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. The image that comes into my mind as I read this beautiful verse from the Psalms is that of a relay race where each runner has a lap around the track holding the baton. You see what the psalmist says, in my youth, you taught me. In other words, God, you sent people into my life, the previous generation before me. You gave the baton of the truth of your word into their hands, and they ran their leg of the race. And look what they did for me when I was a child. They intentionally and sacrificially and meaningfully handed me the baton. And now, Lord, my one earnest prayer is that before I die, before the gray hairs come and I pass on to the next life, I want to finish the race and I want to hand the baton off to the next generation. And this is what our task is, brothers and sisters, is to not drop the baton. Because the generation that's coming after us, well, they are crying out to receive the baton. As I look out over the whole Northeast and I see so many churches that are closing their doors, spiritual communities that are dying, I think, oh no, Lord, let that not be us. Let us not drop the baton. When I look at those headlines and then I see the other headlines that are flooding all of our screens of college students who are confused and crying out, who are acting violently, who are believing lies. And when I look at what's going on in some of our urban centers, I see a whole generation of people. Here's the thing. I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at us for not passing the baton to them. They're crying out. They're telling us something. When my kids were toddlers and they were flipping out like that, I was saying, what do they need? Do they need a nap or a snack? It's my job to give that to them. You guys are growing up so nicely. Look at you. When I look at these college campuses, I say, what do they need that we haven't given them? It's the baton of the gospel that their hearts are crying out for, whether they know it or not. There's a church right in the heart of Stamford, a church building, that if you read their Wikipedia page, it says they were founded even before we were founded. They were founded in the 1600s. And it says that they were the central thing in the city of Stamford, both geographically, spiritually, and in government. That was this the center of Stamford. And that's the way they operated for many, many years. They shaped culture in the city of Stamford. Well, I'm not going to name the name of it or anything. I don't want to throw it under the bus, but they had spiritual decline going on in that church for the last generation. And in 2022, maybe you saw the headline, they sold their building to some condo developers. It's gone. That church is pretty much gone. That's just a quarter of a mile up the street from the building that God has provided us in the Stamford campaign that we're all thinking about. And what I'm viewing right now in this moment is I'm saying, oh my goodness, this is so sacrificial and so big of an idea, but all we're doing really is doing what it takes to pick up the baton that was dropped and to hand it off successfully to the next generation. Our building, the one that God has given us in Stamford, is right in the heart of the city, as we've been saying, and it's one block from the UConn campus. So I just want to give this almost as like a challenge to any of us who've been seeing the headlines and you're feeling maybe hopeless or discouraged or even cynical about what's going on in the next generation. What I want to say to you is, let's do something about it. There's no problem too big for our God to solve. And our job is to pass the baton, to not grow gray hairs in old age before we proclaim, as the psalmist says, your might, your power to the next generation, to all those to come. Those churches across the Northeast that are dying down, that are not passing on the baton, you might look at them and say, oh, it's because they lost funding. And that's true. But what I really think is happening is we Christians as a generation, some of us, not that we're losing funding, we're losing faith in how big and how faithful our God is. The funding comes on the back of faith, really. We've been using this phrase that over the last month, yes, we're calling it a capital campaign, and there's a lot of money that has been coming in and still needs to come in. It's not necessarily, though, a fundraiser. I've been thinking it rather as a faith riser. And I've been seeing faith rise. Holy Spirit, come and let faith rise. Let faith rise. This is exactly what happens in the psalmist's heart. I can hear him saying, Lord, I want to pass that baton on to the next generation. And then his faith begins bubbling up and rising, and he begins to recall just how big our God is. Look what he says in verse 19. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? This is my hope. If you don't get anything else from today, it's that you would see, you would behold in your eyes of faith how big our God is. Your faithfulness, Lord, your righteousness is like the high heavens. There's a similar passage in Psalm 36 that says, your love, O Lord, stretches to the heavens. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. I want us to see today just how big God is. That his righteousness, his faithfulness, his love stretches to the heavens like a sunset. I was thinking about that just a few nights ago. I was on the shores of Lake Michigan. I was there for Hope College board meetings. As some of you know, I'm involved in Hope College, where I believe revival is about to break out on that campus. And I was standing on the shores of Lake Michigan, and I saw this sunset. And my heart just broke out into praise. Your righteousness, Lord, is like the high heavens. Look how big our God is. As I've been riding this wave of being a pastor at Stanwich Church, I've been seeing every year that goes by how much bigger our God is than I thought he was the year before. There's a scene in the Chronicles of Narnia. Maybe you know that story where C.S. Lewis wrote this fable, where Aslan the lion is the figure in the story who is to point us to Christ. And there's young Lucy, a little girl in the story, and she loves Aslan. She's amazed by Aslan. She sees the power of Aslan. But there's a time in the story where she hasn't seen him in some time. And she's grown a bit older. And they have an encounter with one another. Aslan, said Lucy, when she saw him again after some years, you're bigger. That is because you are older, little one, answered he. Not because you are. I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger. Church, we have a big, big God. And my hope through all of this is that our faith would grow. Our faith in him would grow. Our response to such a big and faithful and wonderful God is to know him more and to make him known. To use intergenerational discipleship, to not drop the baton to the next generation. This next generation, I've mentioned how they're crying out. But the generation also contains young people of tremendous faith. I've lost count now. There's been several stories in this church over the last year or two where there's a new family who shows up and we say, how did you hear about us? This is amazing. This has happened multiple times. And the parents say, our child begged us to come. There was one story where a family drove by on their way to school every day, I think, and the little girl in the back seat kept saying, we need to go there. We need to go there. Take me to church. And now here they are. We've baptized more young people over the last year than I ever saw baptized in all the years previous combined. Our young people are leading us well. We as a collective church have already, through faith, given over $17 million to the Stamford campaign. That's amazing. And we haven't even counted these pennies and nickels and quarters yet from our children. We're going to need more than that. Is there anybody here who can give $1 million or two? Our God is so big, he could do that. In fact, Patricia, can you lock the doors quick so we can just wait till somebody gets that? Not only that, our teenagers have been rising up. Just yesterday, we had some teenagers who opened up a bake sale on Greenwich Avenue to raise money for Stamford. They don't have jobs yet, like many of us do, so they don't earn income that they can tithe, but they could bake brownies to sell to people on the avenue to raise money. And yesterday, they raised $656 for Stamford. And they turned their whole Valentine's Day dinner into a fundraiser for Stamford, and they raised over $15,000. That was their goal because they did the math on the demographics of the city of Stamford and realized that there are approximately 15,000 teenagers in Stamford. This moved their hearts to give to Stamford. Guys, our kids are leading us well. This next generation, they are doing exactly what all of our forefathers have done, intergenerational discipleship. They know Christ, and they're making him known. So let's join them. Let's ride this wave. I feel like I'm body surfing right now. In a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to show God how big we believe he is. As we come forward for communion, Heather's going to give you the instructions. And we get to worship him together through giving. I don't know why that moved me to cry. Probably because at the 9 a.m. I saw so many people come forward with their pledges. It was beautiful. So as you come forward for communion, we're all going to take it together down here. There won't be stations up in the balcony, but you can come forward as you come to communion with your pledge card. If you've already pledged or given, you don't need to bring that again. But there are prayer cards, our normal prayer cards, that you can just maybe fill out a simple prayer. Maybe you want to thank God for the generation that came before you who didn't drop the baton. Or you want to pray for the next generation. Or maybe there's a name or a situation, or you just want to praise him. You can use one of those, or if you have one of those little red hearts, I already put mine in the basket, otherwise I was going to show you mine. You can bring that forward and place that in the basket. All those hearts are going to be collected and put as an art display in our new building in Stamford. And if you don't have a pledge card or a prayer card or a heart and you still come forward for communion, maybe when you come up to the basket, which Heather's going to pull out on the step, maybe you just want to look up and behold the cross. And remember what our God committed to. He committed his very life to give us his grace. This makes me want to praise him, and I'm going to end this morning before we go to communion with Ephesians 3, verse 20. It's a scripture that we often use as our benediction here, but it's perfect for what God is leading us to do in this moment. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.